This morning, we're going to get started with two questions. Two questions. Number one, where do you find yourself today? Where are you at? Maybe for you, more and more, you are finding yourself to be a stranger in your own neighborhood. Or maybe for you, you are dealing with an awful work situation that continues to pick at you day after day after day. Maybe you're perplexed about the evil that you see around you, and it just bugs you. Or maybe you think about all of the evil in our world, and that gets to you as you turn on the news. Or maybe there's something that happened in the past, something evil that was done to you, and you just continue to struggle with it. Maybe you're feeling stuck. Maybe you're feeling trapped. Maybe you're feeling cornered. Maybe in one way or another you are overcome by pain or by sorrow. Maybe you're feeling displaced or dismissed or separated, and you're struggling in your situation. For us here at First Reformed Church, we wonder about the future. What does God have in store for us? And how are we called to get there? So that's number one. Where do you find yourself today? Number two, what does the Lord Almighty have to say about where you find yourself today? What does the Lord Almighty have to say about where you find yourself? The Israelites, they found themselves pulled away from their homeland. They were living in Jerusalem, but now they're living in Babylon. Jerusalem to Babylon. They were exiled. It's kind of a big word. They were exiled away from their homeland and brought to the land of Babylon. They were forced from their home, from their country. And life was in question for them. They had all kinds of questions and concerns. They were suffering from an incredible loss. Displaced. Now, away from their homeland, God speaks to them through the prophet Jeremiah. Along the history of the Old Testament, we see that God speaks loudly and clearly to prophets. And then the job of these prophets is to go and tell the people what they've heard from the Lord. So that's what Jeremiah does. And the word of the Lord here to the Israelites from Jeremiah deals with how they are to respond to their situation, what their approach should be, how their hearts should lean, and the direction of their faith. So today, we're going to think about our own situations alongside the situations of the Israelites, and we're going to hear the word of the Lord from Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 14. So if you'd like to grab a pew Bible and turn to the book of Jeremiah, I'll pull up the app on your smartphone. We'll also have the words on screen. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 14. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we think about where we are, we ask for your help. Give us guidance. Show us your will and ways for the Israelites as they are facing exile from their homeland. as they are strangers in Babylon. Lord, give us guidance through your word, just as you did for them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, starting off with verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. So, last week, we introduced our revised vision statement for First Reformed Church, making disciples by seeking God and serving others. Making disciples by seeking God and serving others. Last week, we focused on the making disciples part, and today we're going to focus on the seeking God part. The Israelites, who have been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon, they were asking something like this. Where is God? Where is God in this? Where is God? You know, we were carried away to Babylon, and it happened because of their sin, God's judgment upon them, and they were brought into the worst of the worst country. Where is God in all of this? How are we to deal with this, where we're finding ourselves right now? God had been patient with Israel, as we read through the Old Testament over and over and over again. He is patient with them. Evil and bad king over Israel, one after the other, came and went, and still their hearts did not turn back to the Lord. So the Lord had been patient. Now they were in exile, and there was going to be no quick way out of this. So what now? Where is God in this now? They are wondering. It really seems like they are where they are, and that's not going to change for a while. Now, personally, maybe you're dealing with the results of your own sin and its consequences. Maybe that's the thing that is picking away at you right now. Or maybe you're dealing with the results of someone else's sin, something done to you. Or perhaps it's for you, you're really just dealing with the results of original sin, the corruption of our bodies, disease, death, and decay. These things are weighing heavy on you. As a church, we have some questions to ask. You know, if you look at our church over the last couple of decades, at least, we've faced decline. And we really are an aging church. What does the future hold for First Reformed Church? What now? Where is God in this? How are we to carry on? What does the future hold? What does it look like? The Israelites, they are filled with trauma and maybe even some desperation about their situation. For them, their world has fallen apart. Absolutely fallen apart. And their future, you know, just looking at where they're at now, their future looks bleak. Jerusalem is so far away. So Jeremiah, he applies the word of the Lord to their situation. And in the first section, we can call this kind of number one. I think we can kind of break this down into three sections. The first section is this. It really seems like the word of the Lord from Jeremiah to the people is this: do life. Do life. Build houses and settle down where you are right now. Make your place a home. Settle in. Settle in to the place where you are. Do life. Don't put life on hold, waiting for a quick turnaround back to Jerusalem, but settle in. And there, where you're settling now in this new city that is not your own, plant gardens. Plant gardens and eat. Work the soil. No, this isn't the land of milk and honey. This isn't the promised land that I gave to your ancestors, but this is where you are. So plant gardens and eat in this new land, in this new place. Take care of your family and yourself. Don't just sit around and wallow in your misery and in all of your self-pity and all of your negative talk. Don't dwell on that. But build houses, plant gardens, and even more than that, because it's going to be a while, marry and have kids. And with those kids, end up, you know, giving your daughters in marriage and finding wives for your sons. And just don't put life on hold because of your situation. Don't put life on hold. In other words, for the Israelites, I really see God speaking through Jeremiah with the Genesis mandate that is the mandate for all of humanity. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. Continue living that out. Whether you're in Jerusalem or whether you're in Babylon, what your situation is where you're at, live it out. Or in other words, look to God despite where you are. He is, no matter if you're in Jerusalem or in Babylon, He is the creator. He is the sustainer. And He is the future of your faith and life. Look to Him right where you are. Well, how can you do this if you find yourself in a wicked place or in the middle of turmoil? How do you do life under those circumstances? Well, just as the Israelites had a promise from God that they would be restored, we do too. We also have promises from God. The Israelites, their promise is that they're going to be returned someday to Jerusalem. It's not going to be as quick as they want, but they will be restored. And for us, when it comes to our future, we know that we are part of a greater kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. And that gives us hope and strength. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter how hard it is, we are part of a greater kingdom. It's a reminder for us that right here, right now, we are living in foreign territory. We, too, in a way, are exiled or separated from the fullness of our homeland. But we will see the kingdom of God in fullness one day. We know that it's coming, and we are looking forward to it. The kingdom in all of its fullness is going to be ours. So, just like the Israelites are called to press on and do life, with the stuff that we're dealing with, we're also called to press on, to adapt, to adjust, to grow, even in the tough spots that we find ourselves in, and even if it's not where we want to be, and even if it's not where we picture ourselves being right now. I think the call here is don't just wait around, but do life. So that was number one, do life. Number two, it really looks like the word of the Lord to Jeremiah for the people of Israel is inviting them to turn their grieving into ministering. Turning their grieving into ministering. Now this by human standards is absolutely unthinkable. This isn't the way that we want to deal with our situations. But this is what God calls the Israelites to. He asks the people of Israel to seek peace where they are and prosperity where God has placed them. Yeah, do life and seek peace and prosperity in Babylon, of all places, in Babylon. This would be like maybe you for work, or because of some other life circumstance, you had to move from Wisconsin to the heart of Illinois. And you were forced, day in and day out, to be surrounded by Bears fans. Like every day. Enemy territory. But all joking aside, what the Israelites were dealing with is a million times worse. Million times worse. They are in the worst of the worst place. They are in Babylon. And they're called there to seek peace and to seek prosperity, not just for themselves, but for their new community. And they're to pray to the Lord for it. To pray to the Lord for Babylon. And for the well-being of Babylon. This is wild. This is wild kind of stuff. They're really being called to pray for their enemy. Because Babylon's enemy number one for them right now, after they've been carried off from Jerusalem. They have to pray for them. And I really see this part as pointing directly to Jesus. Well, what does Jesus do on the cross? Well, we find out that because of sin, we were enemies to God. But by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are enemies that are now made friends of God. All by his death for the forgiveness of our sins on the cross. This is what's wild about Jesus. He is the one that turns enemies of God into friends of God, and he even guides us to do the same thing So we're seeing echoes of this stuff for us too. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The Israelites, they are to be bearers of good news in their new community. And it's our call too, to do life and to turn grieving into ministering right where we are, spreading good news of God to the community. But for the Israelites, taking this turn was a problem. It was an issue for them. The Israelites didn't want to face the truth of their situation. They wanted a quick return. They wanted to head back to Jerusalem, lickety-split. But this wasn't going to happen. It wasn't part of God's plan. So they needed to deal with this situation. But they haven't been. Rather than dealing with the situation and leaning in to what God has in store for them, they've been believing lies from false teachers, false prophets, and diviners. These false prophets, teachers, and diviners have been telling them that don't buy houses, don't plant gardens, don't get married, don't have children, have them get married either. Just hold on, because we're almost going to be back in Jerusalem really fast. We're not going to have to do anything. We're not going to have to, there's not going to have to be, you know, God's just going to do it and we're going to be there. But that wasn't God's plan. And that wasn't what they wanted to hear. But Jeremiah here, bringing the word of the Lord, lets them know, do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. That's not the way that it's going to be. It's not going to be the quick turnaround that they had hoped. And we're susceptible to lies also. You know, in a lot of ways, we want to believe false teachers who tell us that we're not going to deal with any suffering. False teachers that tell us that we're going to have incredible, perfect lives. You know what? We're not going to have incredible, perfect lives. And we are going to have to deal with suffering in our lives. And as much as the TV evangelists want to let us know that, you know, if only we send in a few dollars to them, we're going to have complete financial success in every facet of our life, it is not going to happen. That is not the truth. Although we would like it to be. We want to be able to hit the easy button. When it comes to life, we want to hit the easy button when it comes to blessing our community, and we want to hit the easy button when it comes to church. Does God heal? Yeah. Does God bless? Absolutely. Is it on our terms? No. No, it is not. This is what the Lord says to the Israelites. He says, for Israel, they are going to be in Babylon for 70 years. For 70 years. There's not going to be a quick turnaround, but you will be brought home. Be patient. His promise will be fulfilled. For God says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. Like I said, maybe today you're feeling like a stranger in your own neighborhood, or you're dealing with a bad situation, or you're perplexed by the evil around you. Maybe you're feeling stuck or trapped or cornered. You're dealing with sickness and pain and sorrow and struggle. Maybe you're feeling displaced or dismissed or separated. God has a future for exiled Israel. And God has fullness in store for us too. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And this is surprising hope for a people under God's judgment. Remember, they're there because they're under God's judgment. But even though that's the case, even though they're exiled to Babylon because of the sin of Israel, God gives them hope. And it's surprising hope for us too, whether we're dealing with our own stuff, whether we're dealing with the effects of other people's sin done to us, or even if we're dealing with the ravages of original sin in our lives. It's surprising hope for us. And there's surprising hope for us too. If we think about and wonder about where we'll be as God's people together at first in the next 10 years. Now for maybe I'd call this the action steps that solidify the turnaround. Number one, we talked about doing life. Today, number two is turning that grieving and mourning into ministering for the community. And number three is highlighted in the last section of this. It's calling upon the Lord. Calling upon the Lord. The invitation here from the Lord for the Israelites, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's good news. Come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And if you seek me and find me with all of your heart, I will be found. If you seek me and find me with all of your heart, I will be found. There's incredible hope in seeking and finding the Lord. Living life, turning our grieving into ministering, and seeing incredible hope, because when we reach out to the Lord, He will be found by us. Right where we are. Right where we are. We don't have to be in any other place besides the place we're in today to seek the Lord and to find Him. Right where we are, with the Lord, we can live godly lives and respond to the matchless grace of Jesus. Right where we are, instead of being passive, we can be active with our faith. We can turn from sin. We can turn from worldly passions. We can have hope in what's to come, resurrection of our bodies when Jesus comes again. And we can go from grieving to ministering to lost souls, all while seeking the Lord and trusting in the power of Christ in our lives, and diving into the habits of grace that we explored over the last many weeks. And we can hang on God's every word and trust what He has to say. Encountering the risen Christ, His grace and His goodness, and in Him, finding strength and His righteousness and His guidance through the power of the Holy Spirit all the way through, positioning us as God's seeking people, ready to do His will, engaged with Him in His work of the thing that we're called to do, make disciples by seeking God and serving others. We're called to do life where we are, to turn our grieving into ministering, and to seek God with our hearts. It's a wonderful picture of what it calls for us to together, each ring our bell, and each of us with gifts to share in the church, that we bring more and more and more people into God's incredible kingdom. We work with Him in spreading the good news of the incredible joy we have in Jesus, right where we are. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You for the wonderful promises You gave to exiled Israel. And Lord, we know that we are strangers in this land too, that we are waiting for the fullness of Your kingdom. But Lord, we know that while we wait, we're not just supposed to wallow in our issues. We're not called to just grieve our whole lives through, but Lord, you're calling us to minister, and you're calling us to seek You, and You will be found. Lord, give us guidance in this, that we do this as individuals, but that we do this together in community too. Lord, we ask for help with all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.